yet came on to win. It could well be we'll have that sort of a game here today in Detroit. Statistics sometimes are very dry, but I do believe that we have some statistics here that are very important as far as telling the story of what has transpired in the first half. The alertness, certainly, of the Detroit Lions' defense has been tremendous. They have come up in the way of pass interceptions with four. They have come up with key recoveries of Cleveland Brown fumbles, one on a kickoff that led directly to a touchdown, for example. In addition to that, they have come up with the element of surprise. As witness, the apparent attempt for a field goal that saw Tobin Rhodes, who holds the ball, four field goal attempts by the Lions' Jim Martin, instead taking the snap, rolling out to the side, and then passing to Steve Junker. So it has been an alert defensive unit on the part of the Lions. It has been tremendous strategy. Well, at this point, with mixed emotion. Glad to see you, by the way, Mr. Jones.
Oh, it's nice to be with you.
Mr. Dave Jones, the president of the Cleveland Browns. Bill, would you like to join us here in our conversation? Mr. Jones, if I may, I'd like to point out that a moment ago I said that although it may be an old cliche on the part of broadcasters about don't go away if you've written off this game, I used the example of last week's game to, I think, try to prove my point, and I imagine that you would agree with me right now.
Yes, I do. Of course, there's always a second half, and you never know what will happen. We got away to a real bad start, a fumble on the 20-yard line, and then an interception, which, of course, is 14 points scored very quickly by the Detroit Lions. Now, they look wonderful today, and we up to now haven't looked too good.
Mr. Jones, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you this question. At the start of the season, did you believe that your team, with the great number of rookies, 12, I believe, the exact number, and other men from other clubs playing the first year with the Browns, did you believe that the Browns would be in this championship game at the end of the season?
No, none of us did, including Paul Brown. We were very much surprised and pleased at the showing that our team had made.
Bill, as one who has followed the Browns all season long, I'm certain that you'd like to chat here a little bit with Mr. Jones about this game so far today, and also on your impressions of the season that has just passed, the regular season.
Praise God. Of course, it was said many times, and you too, Dave Jones, that prior to this game that it might be decided on breaks, but certainly no one expected as many breaks to go against the Browns as have gone against them thus far in the football game.
I've never seen anything like it. I'm not alibiing for the Browns, but it's just one of those games where everything went right for the Lions and everything went wrong for us.
Dave, even though the Browns are far back here at halftime, I'm sure that as a real ardent football fan that you must have enjoyed seeing the execution of that fake field goal.
Oh, it was terrific.
Well, thanks.
Is there anything else?
Being with us here at halftime, and I know that the Cleveland fans are still with the Browns all the way, Dave. And
oh, they sure will, and always will be, and thanks a lot. Nice to be with you, McCoy.
Congratulations to you, Mr. Jones, on the showing of the Cleveland Browns this season. Nice to see you. Happy New Year to you. To Dave Jones, president of the Cleveland Browns, in this professional championship game for yet another time. And, of course, you always have to say that when the Cleveland Browns are mentioned, because every year since they've been in this National Football League, they have been in the championship game with the exception of last year. And as all of you pro fans know, they have come a long way. And certainly the understatement of the year would have to be attributed to Paul Brown at the National Football League's draft meeting a few weeks ago, when a representative of another National Football League team said, "Paul, I think of all the years that you've been coaching, this certainly should be recognized as your greatest year." And Paul looked at him and said, "Yes, we have come a little bit farther than we had planned." And that, I do believe, was an understatement. From the standpoint of yardage, for those of you who like to make a note of figures and so forth, the Browns, as of right now, have picked up 81 yards on the ground. They have passed for 64 more yards. The Detroit Lions, meanwhile, despite their point superiority here at halftime of 31-7, have picked up 118 yards in the air and 94 yards on the ground. It's fairly close. Individually, Tobin Roach has moved to the airways 14 times and has completed 7. As we told you, the yardage involved was 94, 95 yards. Tommy O'Connell, who started the game offensively at quarterback for Cleveland, has passed 8 times, completed 4, and had 2 intercepted. Yardage, 64 yards. Milt Plum, who came in late in the second period, passed 3 times, had 1 interception, and failed to complete a pass.
In case you've just tuned in, the score is the Detroit Lions 31, the Cleveland Browns 7.
Right now, Pontiac and your authorized Pontiac dealer would like to express their pleasure at having been able to share the first half of this great sports classic with you and to thank you for being with us. The men and women of Pontiac and all the Pontiac dealers across the country join together in wishing you a happy new year and invite you to stop in at your Pontiac dealers this week to see and drive the big, bold Pontiac, America's number one road car. We pause now for station identification. This is the NBC Radio Network.
This is WGY, WGFM, Schenectady. Do you back the attack on traffic accidents? You do if you give solid support to traffic officials, if you take part in local safety activities, and if you bring your own driving performance up to safe standards. The National Safety Council urges the support of every person who drives, rides, or even walks to join this life-saving campaign. Back the attack on traffic accidents.
The second half of today's World Championship professional football game between the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns is brought to you over the entire NBC radio network by High Grade Food Products Corporation and its Kingan, Carson, and Deerfoot Farms Division. High Grade, spelled H-Y-G-R-A-D-E, serves the nation with quality meats from 51 plants coast to coast. Now back to Ray Stardewes for you right now, another interesting halftime guest.
A moment ago, Bill and I were chatting with the president of the Cleveland Browns, Mr. Dave Jones. Right now, it is our pleasure to chat with a man who walked into our NBC radio booth with a smile from ear to ear, and with good reason here at halftime, the president of the Detroit Lions, Mr. Edwin J. Anderson. Mr. Anderson, I think that I interpreted that smile, of course, for a reflection of that score right now.
Oh, Ray, I haven't had an opportunity to smile very much this year. I can smile at the end of the game, but we probably have had some of the most hectic and dramatic finishes in the entire history of pro football. And I'm not smiling too much, even with 31-7, because I found from experience that anything can happen.
This indeed would be, I don't know whether the right word is a paradox, it's certainly ironic that to get to this championship game, the Lions had to be one of the great second half teams of all of National Football League history, having troubles in the first half, and here you are now on top of a lead. Are you going to begin to worry now, Mr. Anderson?
Ray, I am going to worry very, very much because, as you said, we've been a very poor first half team, but by the law of averages, I told the boys today that I said, you should get hot in the first half, but our problem is to stay hot in the second half.
I know, Mr. Anderson, that you would like to make at least some comment of this tremendous support that the Detroit Lions have received from the fans in the Detroit and surrounding area.
Well, the fans here of in the Michigan, Ohio, and Toledo area that we sort of call our home base have been most fantastic, and we've had a complete sellout for every game, and I'm sure that if we were playing in the 100,000-seat stadium today that we would fill it, but unfortunately there's one here, but we're not allowed to play in.
Well, from the standpoint, then, of support not only of the Detroit Lions, but all of the National Football League generally this year, this truly would be, I imagine, the greatest year as far as you're concerned for the league?
Yes, attendance-wise, at home, we played to 15,000 more people than we did a year ago, and while that doesn't sound very significant, I just want to remind you listeners that we can't get any more people in the stands, and what we need right now is a good stadium stretcher for Brick Stadium.
Well, thanks very much, Mr. Anderson, for being with us. We appreciate it. And if we may, Bill and I, speaking for NBC Radio, our best wishes to you and a happy new year.
Thank you, and the same to you and to all the fans across the country.
Thanks, Mr. Edwin J. Anderson, the president of the Detroit Lions, leading here at halftime in the pro championship game by a score of 31-7. Bill, I think right now that our folks, being perhaps in a holiday mood, would enjoy having a bit of our music from here at Briggs Stadium in Detroit. Huh, Bill?
Well, Ray, Scott, they tell me in just a moment maybe we'll get a little bit of music, but right now we have the official statistics and also some other halftime guests here at the intermission between the second and third periods in this Pro Football Championship game between the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns. And the Lions, in case you joined us late, are leading by a score of 31-7, scoring 17 points in the first period, 14 more in the second, while the Browns' long touchdown came in the second quarter. Ray Scott, you have another guest, huh?
That I do. And while we have just a couple of moments before the start of the second half, it's a great pleasure to welcome the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is here to watch the game in person today, Mr. Arthur J. Rooney. Well, Art, I imagine you yourself as an owner would like to see a game like this played in Pittsburgh some year.
I certainly would, Ray, and I hope it won't be long now.
And how about some comments on the game, Art? You're more than an owner. You're a fan and a former player.
Well, it's an excellent game. I believe that the Detroit club so far in the first half has received the breaks, and if breaks go to Cleveland in the second half, I think you'll see a great ball game.
Thanks very much, Art. Nice to have you drop by here, and happy New Year to you. Mr. Art Rooney, president of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And here from the city of Pittsburgh itself, and a great sports fan I happen to know, is the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh, Mayor David L. Lawrence. Well, Your Honor, how about your professional comments? I know that you're more than a fan. By golly, I look at you as somewhat of an expert.
Well, this is a great ball game, Ray. I'm happy to see you up here. I brought my two grandsons up. They wanted to see the game, and of course we're getting a thrill out of it, rooting for Detroit because they're away ahead, and the fact that Joe Schmidt playing such a good ball game.
Well, picking out, of course, the mayor was referring to Joe Schmidt, who's a native of Pittsburgh and a former star at the University of Pittsburgh. One final question, Your Honor, and this is a leading question. Would you like to see a pro championship game in Pittsburgh sometime?
You know, Ray, that's really why I came up here. I wanted to get the atmosphere because I expect Buddy Parker within the next year or two to be bringing a game like this to Pittsburgh.
Thanks very much, Your Honor. Mayor of the city of Pittsburgh, His Honor David O. Lawrence. Thanks to him for dropping by as well. Well, now, Bill, I think you did have a couple of statistics there. And here's the commissioner. By golly, glad to see that he was able to drop by. So, Bill, how about you making introductions here of the commissioner of the National Football League?
Thank you, Ray. It's a real pleasure for me to present to our NBC listening audience the commissioner of the National Football League, Mr. Bert Bell. Bert, has the first half of this football game come to you as any surprise?
Well, everything in pro football is a surprise because we never play defense. We just keep playing offense all the time, and the ball moves up and down the field, and it's the bounce of the ball, and nobody knows what's going to happen in the second quarter, the third quarter, or the fourth quarter. And that's why the people, we've broken the attendance record 9 out of the last 12 years, the last 6 years in a row, and this year we're 11% over and above the greatest year we ever had.
Mr. Commissioner, if the attendance continues to grow from year to year, it would seem that some new stadium are going to have to be built around this country.
No. You see, as long as we have our friend Mayor Lyons in Pittsburgh working on our stadium and one in Washington, get a little better parking and help a little bit in Philadelphia, why, that'll take care of that extra attendance, and we're doing all right where we are.
Commissioner, there has been some word in recent weeks about the possibility of the league expanding. Do you care to say anything about that?
Well, I think there's a possibility, but I think before the league ever expands, if you're going to put in two cities or two teams, you've got to give those two people the first second selection choice for 2 years in a row before you can win. There's no use going in without a football team.
May I ask, Commissioner, where would those players then play in the first year after they were selected?
Well, they belong to different ball clubs.
But you say that draft for 2 years, but that other team wouldn't come into the league from 2 years in the future.
Not until they had a football team.
Well, would they play around the league at that
time? Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Commissioner Bert Bell, for being with us. Congratulations to you and the league office on another wonderful season of pro football.
Thanks very much to you, fellas. We owe a great debt of gratitude to you fellas that advertise it so well and do a great job for us. And everybody in this league appreciates it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. We'll be all set to go with a second half kickoff in just a moment.
I would like to say a couple of words about high-grade all-beef Frankfurters.
Yo! My grade is high grade, I'm here to say that it always has been my belief. that the franks I eat should be quality meat.
I always ask for high grade, cause they're all pure beef. High grade,
You bet they're all pure beef. High grade's all beef frankfurters are different from any other kind. Each plump wiener is fairly bursting with rich, robust, zesty flavor. The kind of flavor that made the chuck wagon meals famous for good eating all over the West. Yes, high-grade all-beef frankfurters make a real satisfying meal. Their feet under the table, man-filling food. Serve them anytime, lunch, dinner, snack time, you'll love them. High-grade all-beef frankfurters. Hot dogs!
The Cleveland Browns and the Detroit Lions have returned to the playing field here at Briggs Stadium in Detroit, Michigan. All set for play in the third period of this championship game, with the Lions in front of the Browns by a score of 31-7 as a result of scoring 17 points in the first period, adding 14 more in the second. We have some official statistics. First downs rushing for Detroit 7, the Browns 4. Passing, the Lions 6, the Browns 3. By penalty, none. Total first downs, Detroit 13, the Browns 7. Yards gained rushing, the Lions 95, the Browns 89. Passing, Detroit 125, Cleveland 54. Yards lost, attempted passing, Detroit none, Cleveland 7. Total yards gained, that's net, 224 the Lions, 143 for the Browns. The Lions have taken to the air 14 times. Tobin Rudd has completed 7 of them. The Browns have thrown 12 times, completed only 4. And the Lions, and this has been a big factor in the game thus far, have intercepted 4 of the Cleveland passes, 2 of Tommy O'Connell's, 1 of Chet Hanulak, and 1 of Mel Plum. The Lions have already received instructions from their coaching staff. They're all set to receive the kickoff for the third period. The Browns are still huddled around their head coach, Paul Brown, who undoubtedly had something to say to them at halftime in the locker room in an attempt to get back into this championship football game. The Browns are now moving out on the field. So here again with the play-by-play of the third period of this football game is Ray Scott.
Right, Bill McColgan. And I think at this moment I would like to make mention of the coaching staff of these two teams. For the Cleveland Browns, we know the head coach is Paul Brown. His assistants are Howard Brinker, Paul Bixler, Fritz Heisler, Eddie Ulinski, and Dick Gallagher. The Detroit Lions are headed by George Wilson, his first year as head coach. His assistants are Aldo Forte, Buster Ramsey, Red Cochran, and Bob Nussbaumer. The Cleveland Browns will kick off to start the second half. The Detroit Lions will receive at the goal line to our left, the north goal. Kicking off will be Lou Groza. In position to receive for Detroit deep at the goal line will be Gene Gedman and Yale Larry. Now, Tom Tracy was aided from the field following the first half, and we do not expect to see him in the second half, but we are not sure.
The whistle. He comes up to the ball. His boot is high, fairly deep. Larry at the goal line, to the 5 up the middle, 10, 15, swings to the right, 20, 25-yard line, he's snowed under. Yale Larry. Jim Ray Smith was the first Cleveland Brown to make contact. And so the Lions have the ball, first down and 10, their own 25-yard line, moving left to right here in the third period on the long end of a 31-7 lead, fashioned not only by their offensive unit, but by tremendous play by their defensive unit. 4 pass interceptions being very key ones, and 2 recoveries of Cleveland Brown fumbles. First and 10, Detroit at their own 25-yard line, and the lights have been turned on here at Briggs Stadium. Tobin Rudd is under center. John Henry Johnson and Gedman at the running back positions. Cassidy is an outside flanker to the left. The snap, it is up the middle. Gedman gets just a couple before he's met by linebacker Galen Fiss from Kansas University. Up front, it is Frank Gadsky at center. The guards are Harley Sewell and Stan Campbell. The tackles are Lou Kreekmer and Ken Russell. The ends are Steve Junker and Jim Doran. The flanker, Howard Hopalong Cassidy. Gene Gedman, John Henry Johnson at the running backs, and Tobin Rhodes under center at quarterback. Second down, 7. Cassidy flanks left, Jim Doran split right. A pitch out that goes wild. It is recovered by Cleveland at the line of scrimmage. Tobin Rhodes trying to pitch out to the left. Lou Kreekmer recovered that fumble. A pickup perhaps of a half yard as the ball rolled forward that much from the line of scrimmage. It comes to the 28-yard line, and it is third down and a long 6 yards to go for a first down. The playing field now completely covered by shadow here at Briggs Stadium. Cassidy breaks out of the huddle and flanks to the right. The split left end is Doran. Third down between 6 and 7 for Detroit. Tobin Roach under center. The snap. Looks, throws. Cassidy has it at the 34, rolls forward to the 35. Fumble. Cleveland is on the ball. The question now is whether the fumble occurred before or after the whistle. It was after the whistle, so ruled by the officials. Warren Lahr made the tackle on Cassidy. It is short of a first down by a half yard. Fourth down coming up for Detroit. The kicking unit has not come in. The Lions looking to the bench. Tobin Roach comes up now and says that he wants to see how close it is to a first down. Four members of the Detroit Lion kicking team had started onto the field. Tobin Roach now is leaving the field. And the kicking unit takes over, led by Yale Larry. The Detroit Lions make their changes. The Cleveland Browns make changes. They're sending back in punt receiving position Chet Hanulak on the left and Billy Reynolds on the right. Larry will punt from the Detroit Lion 20-yard line. Early in the third quarter, 31-7 the score, the Lions on top. A high pass from center. Larry gets it. His boot is a high and a very deep one. Drives Reynolds back to the 19-yard line. Swings to the right. Cut from behind at the 20. Cut from behind by John Gordy, the rookie guard from Tennessee. He was aided by Dorn Dibble. The ball will be spotted at the 20-yard line of Cleveland. A 45-yard punt from line of scrimmage by Yale Larry. And so the Browns, trailing 31-7, will scrimmage at first and 10 from their own 20-yard line. Tommy O'Connell played most of the game at quarterback in the first half, although late in the second quarter, Milt Plum came in to take over, and he's in there now. The rookie from Penn State, 6'1", 205, did a great job filling in for the injured O'Connell the latter part of the regular season. Renfro flanking to the left. Both ends are tight. The snap going off to the right side. Jimmy Brown gets nothing at all as Joe Schmidt diagnosed the play and slid over to make the tackle with help from the left linebacker, Bob Long. No gain. Second down, 10. Milt Plum, the quarterback. Luke Carpenter, Jimmy Brown at the running back positions. Ray Renfro will be the flanker. The ends are Pete Brewster and Preston Carpenter. Lou Groza, Mike McCormick, the tackles. Jim Ray Smith and Herschel Forrester, the guards. And Art Hunter at center. Smith alternates with Robinson with instructions from the bench from Paul Brown. Second down, 10 from the 20. Plum under center. Pitches out to the right to Carpenter. He comes up to the line of scrimmage to the 25, to the 30. Swings to the 35, to the right sideline. 40, 45, and upended at the 48-yard line. Pete Brewster threw the big block for him that time to spring him loose from the line of scrimmage. Jim David finally made the tackle, but it's a long gain for Lou Carpenter from the 20 to the 47, 27 yards. The ball at the inbounds marker, far side of the field. The Browns are moving right to left. Early in the third period, about 3 minutes have been played. 31-7, Detroit's on top. Carpenter. Preston Carper splits out to the right. The left end is fairly tight. Renfro flanks outside the left end. Swinging out to the left side is Preston Carpenter. Gets away from two tacklers. Is stormed under at the 49. Lou Carpenter, just shy of the 50. His forward progress marked the 49 and a half, and it's Gil Maines and Bob Long who are the key men defensively for Detroit on that play. A gain of 3, second down, 7. The Browns within a half yard of crossing midfield. About 10 minutes now remaining in the third quarter. There's been no scoring in this period. Ray Renfro flanks out to the right. Carpenter splits a couple of yards. Pete Brewster splits left a couple. It's a double wing now. Lou Carpenter comes out to the left, and Plum fades the pass. It is complete to Carpenter at the 35, comes to the 32-yard line, and there he's upended. Preston Carpenter, the right end, brought down by Jim David, as he apparently was going to be brought down by about three different Detroit Lions, but he was able to wrestle away from them and move down to the 32-yard line. And the Browns are on the move. The Detroit Lions punted to Cleveland a moment ago. Lou Carpenter, a 27-yard run, now took the pass. At the 32-yard line of Detroit, it is first down and 10, and Renfro flanks to the right. The ends are tight. Off to the right guard position goes Lou Carpenter across the 30 to the 28-yard line. After a fake first to the fullback up the middle, Joe Schmidt brings him down. to the 28, a four-yard pickup. The game is being brought to you by High Grades, spelled H-Y-G-R-A-D-E. Try High Grades, all beef Frankfurters, the only Franks with that real Western chuck wagon flavor. Gain of four in the last play, second down six, and Renfro breaks huddle and flanks out to the right. As so far, the Browns are keeping their ends in tight on this series. Milt Plum under center. The snap, fake to two men, rolls out to the right looking for a receiver. He's being chased. He throws. He has Carpenter at the 18, and he's down at the 16. Preston Carpenter, the right end. Went down, went out. Milt Plum rolled out to the right, spotted him, and hit him with a strike. Joe Schmidt made the tackle. The ball at the 16-yard line. It'll be another first down for the Cleveland Browns. The Browns need this ball, and they need a touchdown. They're trailing 31-7. Unofficial time remaining about 8 minutes in the third quarter. Jim David comes out. Jack Christensen moves in for Detroit in the secondary as Renfro flanks to the right and Pete Brewster's split at left end. Milt Plum the snap. Swinging out to the left is Jimmy Brown. He has one blocker in front of him. He's being chased. He gets to the 15. He gets to the 10-yard line, swinging out to the left and out of bounds. And there, Carl Evitz hits him with a shoulder tackle and spins him out. Jim Ray Smith led the blocking from his left guard position. He pulled out, was in front of Jimmy Brown, and threw a real good block and enabled him to pick up six. The ball spotted now at the inbounds marker near side of the field at the 10-yard line. And it is second down and a little better than 5 yards to go for a first down. The score, 31-7. The Browns trailing, but the Browns have the ball. The only sustained drive of the third period so far. Renfro again flanks out to the right. This time, Milt Plum has his ends in tight. Brown and Carpenter in running position behind him. The snap. Brown off left guard. Gets only a foot, if that much. Coming up from the secondary, Carl Evitz. Up front, Roger Zatkoff from his right linebacking position came up. They spotted that one coming, and Brown gets nothing as the ball is spotted at the 10 again. And it'll be third down and five. And again, the guard comes in. Jim Ray Smith. Out goes Fred Robinson. Third down, 5 yards to go for a first down. And the Browns desperately need a touchdown. Ray Renfro flanks about 15 yards outside the right end, who split a yard. Carpenter, Plum under center. The snap fades directly back to pass. He's looking. He throws out to the right to Carpenter. He has at the six. He's belted out of bounds at the five. Preston Carpenter takes the pass out in the right flat. Is hit out of bounds by Yale Larry. This will be very close to a first down, so the officials will not move the ball from the point where Carpenter went out of bounds. And we have an official timeout for a measurement, and the chains on the near side of the field have to go all the way across to the far side. And Lou Groza is standing over there to look at it. The chains are stretched. First down by just the nose of the ball at the five. First and goal to go. And so the Browns, Milt Plum, comes up with the yardage that he must have to keep this drive going. A field goal at this point would mean practically nothing to the Browns, and they know it. First and goal to go on the Detroit Lions 5-yard line, and two replacements come in for Cleveland. The one is the guard, Fred Robinson, was Preston Carpenter. He was just over asking for instructions. He comes back in at right end. This time it's a fairly tight tee. Renfro a yard outside the left end. First and goal at the five. Out to the left side comes Carpenter, Preston Carpenter. He cuts and he's into the end zone. It was Lou Carpenter, not Preston Carpenter. Lou wearing number 30, not Preston number 40, but he's into the end zone and the Browns have that touchdown that they needed. And they trail now by a score of 31-13. And there are still 7 minutes remaining in the third quarter, and Lou Groza will be in to attempt the extra point. He tried 32 during the regular season and he made every one of them. He converted his only other chance today. 80 yards and 10 plays for the Browns as Groza, with O'Connell holding, will try for the extra point. The ball is down. The kick is in the air. It is good. The point is good. The score now, the Detroit Lions 31, the Cleveland Browns 14.
I would like to say a couple of words about High Grade's KP Party Loaf.
Delicious!
My grade is high grade. I'm here to say that it always has been my belief
that the meat I eat should be quality beef.
I always ask for high grade if I can't meet treat. High grade, high grade, high grade, high grade. I always ask for high grade 'cause it's all pure meat.
Thanks to an amazing new super speed canning process, KP Party Loaf is the only luncheon meat with super flavor. Yes, ma'am, it's super special. Serve it baked, broiled, fried, or slice it cold right from the can. Delicious. KP Party Loaf is super thrifty, too. Costs just pennies a portion. Get some tomorrow.
High grade, I always ask for high grade, cause it's all pure meat.
Lou Groza preparing to kick off for the Browns with Gedman and Larry deep to receive as the Browns have started what their followers hope will be a second half comeback. Groza comes to the ball. Fairly deep into the end zone. Larry, 2 yards deep, comes to the five, swings to the left, back to the right, 15, 20. Spins away from two tacklers, but is down at the 22.